10:05, welcome back to the Chad HD Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Online at KFYO.com and with the Radio Pup app, you can listen to the show wherever you go. Just download Radio Pup. It's free. You can search for KFYO and you can listen to us anywhere, really. It's pretty nice to have. Phone lines open to you, 770-579, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. First voice you hear from when you dial in, the very talented Ariel Walden on the other side. You look to the Middle East, and could things be worse? Well, maybe. But you look at what's happening in Iraq right now, and it is just absolutely, it seems, as though it's falling apart. Over the weekend, the president announcing that the airstrikes will not be a short-term deal. It will be lasting much longer than that. That has many wondering what exactly is happening in Iraq, in Syria, and the possible spread of ISIS into the United States. And joining me to talk about that very issue is the director of the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign and National Security Policy, Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation, Stephen Bushy, joining me. Stephen, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. It's a big day, a big week over in Iraq. I think this is one of those weeks where we can see a lot happen internationally and just in Iraq. Let's talk about number one, just the security apparatus, the security that we have in Iraq. And it seems as though many governments, including our own federal government, they were shocked at how fast ISIS, or IS now, was able to spread throughout Iraq. Are you that surprised?
Well, I'd love to say no. I spotted it miles away, but to be honest with you, very few analysts really recognized. You know, they knew these guys were going to be a threat. They knew they had reconstituted themselves after the surge and when we left in 2011. But nobody really guessed how quickly and how effectively they were going to jump back in the other direction going after Iraq. So I think everyone was kind of caught by surprise.
What happens now for the administration? Obviously, they're doing airstrikes. They're providing a little humanitarian relief. Is this the only step you think that the administration can take? And how much blame can be placed on the administration and their foreign policy?
Well, first part is I hope they take a few more steps. I mean, this is better than doing nothing. But I don't think it's necessarily enough. You know, nobody wants us to send American ground troops in there to actually fight these guys head to head. But we've got to do something, which they've already started. They're sending arms shipments now to the Kurdish Peshmerga, the Kurdish militia that's fighting ISIS. You know, we hope that the government there in Baghdad can get itself sorted out in a legitimate way, so they'll be able to fight as well. But I'm not sure if we just stay where we are, just with the individual airstrikes, if that's going to be enough to really stop these guys.
I was about to say, you're dealing with an Iraqi military. It just seems no one knows exactly who's in charge over there. Obviously, we have some events that are developing today with the prime minister. Who's in charge? Can we really count on the Iraqi military holding up against ISIS? And is this a situation where, you know, you brought up that we don't want to send ground forces back into Iraq, but, I mean, is it really winnable if we don't?
Well, I think I'm dubious that it's winnable if we just do what we're doing now.
Right.
I personally would advocate sort of a middle ground, and that's, you know, maybe look at what we did at the beginning of the war in Afghanistan as a model, where we had our special operations forces in small groups linking up with local military forces that were allied with us in Afghanistan. It was the Northern Alliance forces. Here would be the Iraqi military, the Peshmerga, and maybe if we get some other regional allies to come in and help as well, perhaps Turkey or Jordan, put some of our soft guys with them, but you need to use a lot more air power than what they're using, but guided and directed by our folks with the locals, that could be an effective way to eliminate these guys in ISIS. This is not just relieve the humanitarian disaster. We need to go after these guys and defeat them. They're that bad and they're that much of a threat. We need to take that extra step.
Where do you think the rest of the world is on this? Right now, the U.S. Helping out some forces in Iraq, but the United States, the only country doing anything. Do you anticipate that maybe some other countries will get involved now that the U.S. has taken that step forward?
Well, when the U.S. leads, others tend to follow. They're already, the French have done some humanitarian assistance. They've brought it in by ground. They flew it in by commercial air, and then it's being moved by ground to the area of in question. The Brits have done some airstrikes and some humanitarian drops, so we're already starting to pick up the kind of countries that normally help us. But as I said, I'd like to see some of the regional powers, you know, step in as well. But I don't know. I mean, the ISIS is not just a threat to Iraq; it's a threat to the entire region. And if you accept on the face what they say they want to do, there should be a lot of countries lining up to help us defeat these guys, because they've basically declared war on everybody that disagrees with them, and in their opinion, they're going to spread this caliphate. And anybody who disagrees is going to be killed.
For those who maybe, you know, they've heard some of these terms, caliphate, they've heard this isn't a Islamic extremist group. How is this group different than an Al-Qaeda or some of the other extremist groups that we've seen in the past?
Well, ideologically, they're very similar to Al-Qaeda. They, you know, have the same sort of what the experts would call a Salafist view, which is they want to go back to a version of Islam that goes back to almost the 6th and 7th centuries, which is, you know, back in when Islam originally started. And it's a very extreme interpretation. But what's different about them is these guys have managed to put together essentially an insurgent army. So they're more than just a terrorist group at this point. They've captured terrain. They're holding terrain. They're going after governments that are standing there, not just with suicide bombers and snipers, but with mobile forces, you know, infantry and trucks, and they've captured tanks and other things. That makes them very different. And additionally, they have access to a lot of foreign fighters from Western Europe and some from the United States who have what we'd like to say is clean papers. They've got passports and things that could get them in and out of countries that other nationalities might not be able to do. That makes them very dangerous as well.
We are visiting with Stephen Bushy, Director of Douglas and Sarah Allison Center of Foreign National Security Policy, Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Over the weekend, John McCain, Lindsey Graham both said that ISIS is a threat to the United States, and John McCain said that they are tracking cells within the United States. How big of a threat is ISIS here, you think?
Well, particularly with that last part I mentioned, they do have some people who are their allies and members that have passports that could get them into this country. So they could theoretically make strikes against us. They've had spokesmen who've gone on TV and said, hey, we're not going to be satisfied until the flag of Islam is flying over the White House. So they have essentially declared war on us. Now, if you recall, Al-Qaeda did this too, when we tended to ignore them until 9/11 happened. Then we went, oh, gosh, these guys were actually serious. Hopefully we'll take these guys serious now. They are a threat to our friends and allies in the Middle East. So in that regard, they are a direct threat to our interests in the area. But I wouldn't discount the possibility of seeing a terrorist event either against Americans abroad or here in the homeland if we are not, continue our vigilance.
It's a very scary situation. It's a well-funded group. Obviously, they've taken arms that were delivered by the U.S. military to the Iraqi military, and they've taken some of those. So it's a very scary situation. Let's look at Iraq overall. I guess it started last night with Nouri al-Maliki sending out tanks in the green zone trying to protect his interest, which is him staying in power. Today, it looks like that's in a state of flux. Where are we, and what happens if al-Maliki goes? Are we wanting Nouri al-Maliki to go? Where are we right now with Iraq?
There's a heck of a lot of uncertainty is the problem. Maliki has the new president said, I'm not going to name Maliki as the prime minister. Maliki said, wait a minute, that's not fair. My group has the largest number of folks in parliament. You have to name me. He's made a challenge through the courts. They announced that the court had decided in his favor, but then minutes later the court said, well, wait a minute, no, we didn't. We haven't decided yet. So there's still a lot of back and forth. I think right now if Maliki went, it would be easier for the United States to support the government in Baghdad, because Maliki hasn't exactly covered himself in glory or in trust as far as the Sunnis and the Kurds go. But he's got a lot of support among the Shia, which are the majority in Iraq. So it's a very difficult situation. We're trying to guide that, our government is, but whether they'll be successful or not, I don't know. And if Maliki stays in office for in whatever manner, I'm not sure if that's going to affect the way we provide support, or if we're even willing to. So there is still a great deal of uncertainty there.
If you were advising the president going forward, if he were to pick up the phone and call you about this ISIS situation, what path would you try to lead him down, and what do you think some of his advisors are telling him about this?
Well, first of all, I'd be amazed if he called somebody who worked at the Heritage Foundation, but I'd be more than willing to take the call. I would advise that they do have to continue to take action. The humanitarian piece is a no-brainer. They need to continue that. The airstrike piece, I think they need to upgrade, and they need to add the addition of our special operations forces with the locals. I think that could have a great effect. I would also be doing a full court press to try and get some of our regional allies to contribute forces as well, and make this an international fight against ISIS, not just Iraq with the support of the United States. Hopefully if he did that, we'd see a big response and really see this thing turn around.
Stephen Bushy with the Heritage Foundation, with the director of the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center of Foreign and National Security Policy. Appreciate your time today and putting a little perspective on this entire issue. Is perfect timing for the president to go on vacation.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's perfect timing. And Stephen, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate being on the show.
Absolutely. Anytime. We'll go ahead and we'll take the break. When we come back, we'll get into this Iraqi issue. Like I said, perfect timing for the president to go, nothing's going on. I'll go play a little bit of golf, hang out at the spa. It'll be nice.